You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
So we got to go to Taiwan, virtually at least for a little bit, and hear Hannah's story of teaching in Taiwan. Yeah. Now back a little closer to home here in St. Louis. We're heading over to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Vicki Biggs, Senior Vice President for Seminary Advancement at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, joining us by phone this morning. Vicki, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me.
It's exciting times at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We start a new academic year, and even more so than that, something new this year, the grand opening of the library at Concordia Seminary. Now, there's been a library at Concordia mm-hmm. Seminary for some time, but this is a grand opening with all kinds of new renovations in the library. Excited to learn more about it. Tell us a little bit about the history of the library at Concordia Seminary.
Well, Andy, there's been a library at Concordia Seminary as long as there's been a seminary. The original library consisted of the personal collections of the original five faculty members who taught at Concordia Seminary. So it dates all the way back to our founders settling in Perry County and the one-room log cabin schoolhouse that was built there. So as long as there's been a seminary, there's been a library.
How important is the library to the seminary, the faculty, and the students? Obviously, books are important, but what does that library mean to have that on campus for the students?
Well, the library, you know, historically stands as the center of scholarship, so it is the place where teachers go to prepare, and certainly where students go to study. So it is the center of academic life here on campus. So it's key. And we are very excited about opening the doors and letting everyone see the renovations that have happened to this very important and key institution on this campus.
Yeah. What was the, you mentioned the renovations. What was that need for the renovations? Why did this project happen?
Well, the current current library building was constructed in 1962. And there truly hadn't been renovations to bring the library up to date ever since 1962. So a building of that age certainly needed renovations. So that is what was behind the plans that were put into place a couple of years ago. We completed a full interior gut remodeling. So the building stood, but everything inside has been redone. So everything from things like the electrical system, the mechanical system, the plumbing systems, those basic things were removed and replaced, and all new finishes have been installed. The building is completely ADA compliant. There's a wonderful new elevator. The centerpiece of the renovation is a new pyramid-shaped skylight that is over the center of the building, and it's opened up on the inside. It's an atrium, and the natural light that floods into the building now is truly beautiful, so everyone should come and see that. Another key element of the renovation is the opening of a new door on what had been the back, or if you're into compasses, on the south-facing wall of the building. So now when you drive onto our campus, instead of the back of our library building being the first thing that you see, there's now a wonderful new entrance, and it's really a new corridor into campus. You come in through this library, and it's truly beautiful.
The library houses just a wealth of resources. I've used the library myself not as a seminary student, but as a graduate student, and I remember just being overwhelmed by the resources that were available then, and that was back in the dark ages. So how is the library serving students of today? I mean, Sarah said a little bit ago, books are important. I agree, books are important. That was primarily the primary source that I was working with when I was a graduate student. But, you know, things have changed. The media that we use today certainly is has expanded. How is the library meeting the needs of students today?
Well, you know, you're right. Students and books absolutely. Students need books, and books continue to be important, but students definitely study differently today. the study styles of today are described as more collaborative. So people gathering together to do things together. And the new layout within the library is zoned for that. It's set up for that. So there are three floors in the library. There's the lower level, the main floor, and the top floor. And it used to be when you walked into the library, you might, really you could see books on shelves for as far as the eye could see. So now the lower level is where most of the circulating books are located. So the books are, for the most part, all collected into and housed on the lower level. The main floor is geared toward divinity students. The Master of Divinity, you know, is our primary program. So main floor is geared toward our divinity students and the public. So there is a study area specially designated for our Master of Divinity students, and it includes reference materials like biblical commentaries and other works of the church fathers, but also on that main floor, again, to be accommodating to the public, our public computers, our current periodicals, there's even a coffee bar. And then the top floor is geared toward those who are pursuing advanced studies, so the special collections, the rare book center, bound journals, doctoral study offices. These are offices that our doctoral program students can reserve and keep their study materials there for their use over a certain period of time.
Did you hear the gasp at coffee bar?
You said magic words right there.
Yes.
We should have come there for the program this morning.
What are we doing here?
Please do come sometime. So that's the hallmark of this renovation, is that the space inside has been redesigned to accommodate the ways people use libraries today.
Now my brain's just on coffee now.
Now we know where Sarah will be studying.
Yep.
I'm not sure what she'll be studying, but she'll be studying.
I don't live that far away. You mentioned community use. How is this renovation going to help with bringing the community into the seminary library to use the resources that are there?
Well, the library is absolutely open to the public. So first and foremost, we hope everybody hears that message and comes and visits the campus and stops inside the library. We know that, for example, there's a pastor from another denomination who comes into the library regularly and works there to prepare his sermons for his congregation. And guest on the program before me was from Taiwan. Well, I know of another example of an LCMS missionary serving in Taiwan who accesses the library online. So from just down the street to people around the world, everyone is using the library. I think you said earlier, too, you know that we have a lot of books. So there are over 270,000 print volumes in our library. We are members of a number of interlibrary associations and consortiums where, you know, people can request and access our collection from, again, other places around the world, whether it's another university here in town or, again, somebody around the world who needs something from our library. And, for example, we are members of MOBIUS, and I hope I'm saying that acronym right, but
yes.
It stands for the Missouri Bibliographic Information User System. So we are the largest non-university lender. That means, you know, of all of the special kinds of libraries and the university libraries that are involved in that consortium, we are the largest non-university institution that people are requesting materials from our library. So that speaks to the size and relevance of our collection. So overall, we know that the community is using our library because we are indeed a much more heavy lender as opposed to a borrower.
I actually have borrowed through MOBIUS from the seminary library before. Rare piece that I couldn't find anywhere else, but the seminary had it.
Hey, yeah, that is a huge, like, my mind is blown right now. Like the huge wealth of resources mm-hmm. available to everybody. That is incredible.
We also know that in addition to individuals borrowing our books and other resources, we've just loaned a Greek New Testament volume to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So and we lend and we loan.
We are talking with...
Those two different things.
That's exciting. And we get to talk with them tomorrow. We get to talk with Dr. Kloa tomorrow about what's going on at the Museum of the Bible.
Yeah.
Grand opening details. We have just about 2 minutes left and want to share that with our listeners.
Sure. grand opening is this Friday, beginning at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So this Friday, the 24th of August, open to the public. We hope everyone will come out and be part of the celebration. We'll have dedicatory remarks beginning at 3, and we're starting in the chapel with these remarks. So come to the chapel on campus. Dedicatory remarks followed by a lecture from our own Professor Emeritus Bob Rosine, who will talk generally about the significance of a theological research library in the 21st century. And after remarks in the chapel, then everyone who is in attendance will walk over to the library for a ribbon cutting, and then a reception and time to explore the library will follow. It will be fun, and we invite everyone to come.
Will there be coffee?
There will be coffee and so much more, Sarah.
Yes. Awesome.
So it's coming up this Friday at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The website, www.csl.edu. You can find out more about the library opening, grand opening there.
And you can watch the video that I watched and be like amazed, and then you can go see it in person. It's fantastic.
It's coming up this Friday. Vicki, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you for having me.
Blessings on the upcoming ceremony, all the great events surrounding that. Well, coming up tomorrow, as we just mentioned, we get to talk with Dr. Kloa about proper care of biblical artifacts that make up the collections that the Museum of the Bible has on exhibit. And something interesting recently happened with one of a piece from one of those collections. I'm excited to dig into that with Dr. Kloa tomorrow. Dig in the facts.
Got it.
That was really bad. So we get a chance to talk with him. We'll learn a little bit more about opening services at Concordia Seminary this week as well. Exciting tomorrow, Concordia Publishing House, new materials from them. Well, new faith courses. I wouldn't say materials. It's because it's digital content.
Studying.
Right.
Opportunities.
So we'll talk with Joe about that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That is exciting. And then later on this week, we also get to take a look at National Youth Gathering registration. It's already here. 2019 National Youth Gathering registration is open, and that's kind of a process, and don't want you to be intimidated if you're planning on attending that. So join us Thursday for that. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.